whole series of questions.
Okay.
Let's pretend, for the sake of argument, that since I announced my semi-retirement, that I've been in some sort of isolation pod.
Yes.
And we're 100 games into the season, and I don't understand anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
I think a lot of things have happened. I think a lot of people are going to wonder where you get those isolation pods. But I think one of the first things is health.
Okay.
You know,
this is great. The thing I can't figure out, like, so did Ichiro break his heel? Is he having hamstring problems? Like, what?
No, Ichiro just appears to be old, as sad as that is. And, you know, I mean, he's had some down years, and this is obviously much, much worse than that.
It's much downer, yes.
It is much downer, but he is also older. And as much as we like to pretend that he is, you know, created in a lab, it's possible that he wasn't. So at his, 37 season, it is possible that he's slowing down a bit. Now, I mean, his batting average on balls in play is way, way down. His batting average on balls in play on ground balls, which has always been so high, is down. And his defense is down through the dubious measurement of like a half season of the UZR.
Right, but it's way down.
It is way down.
All of these things are way down.
All of these things are way down, and
I was really hoping for the injury.
I know. I know, because otherwise we're down to like a big drop in speed, which points back to aging. So, you know, I think he's aging. It's also true that he's been a bit unlucky, but, you know, you can adjust for that, and he still doesn't get you anywhere close to good. So he's actually been a, you know, maybe a below replacement year player, replacement level player this year, which is depressing. And something I don't really want to consider. So let's talk instead about Franklin Gutierrez or somebody who has,
Franklin Gutierrez.
Yes.
Do we know what was wrong with him ever?
No, that's, I think, one of the most depressing things, or one of the most aggravating things, is that they had a couple of diagnoses that they then backed off of. And every time, you know, he's kind of come back worse. So I don't have a whole lot of confidence that they've, you know, diagnosed it. And if they have, that they know how to treat it.
Right.
And, you know, so assuming that it's IBS, I mean, I think there are a number of people who can function at you know, fairly well with that. Most of them are not center fielders. But, you know, I just think it's kind of depressing at this point that something is so clearly wrong, and it's just not getting better. He had a, you know, big home run in Minnesota shortly after coming back, but then he's just, you know, he's just been getting the occasional single for the past month. It's not like his strength seems to be coming back. And I don't know what to do about that. I mean, this is now a year and a half, of, you know, one full year of just being terrible. And a year and a half of not being the guy he was in 2009. So I just don't know that there's any real hope of him coming back to that level.
Right, and that's, for me, that's as disturbing as Ichiro not actually being injured. I mean, that's really strange.
It is really strange, and there's just no good way to read that. Either, you know, he's not hurt, which the team insists on saying, which I keep thinking is an odd message to keep putting out there, that, look, he's fine, he's just scuffling. You know, he certainly doesn't look fine, and it's one of those, like, you know, man up, be a man, get out there, I don't care if you feel weak.
Oh, wait, so are they doing the Gilmesh thing? Are they going to just push him down to Tacoma and have him take 1,000 swings a day until his arms fall off?
You know, I think having him down at Tacoma would be my preference at this point, because whatever it is, it's not working, and my God, Ichiro just got picked off. Wow. Yeah, you know, he was at Tacoma for a while, didn't do a whole lot there, but then they brought him up because they thought he was healthy. And I'm sure he's telling them that he feels okay. But when you look at this level of production for this long, you have to be able to make a move at some point.
Right.
I'm just thinking of like the Jeff Weaver, oh, he has tendonitis kind of DL stint. Just make something up with one of those.
Yeah. Something with the legs is always good. Straight quad.
Yes. Yes.
Straight quad is just your go-to.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Oblique is always good because it's, you know, who knows when you're going to return from that.
Real easy to re-injure those strained muscles.
Absolutely. And you know, obviously he doesn't want to do that, and I respect that. But it's tough when you've got a center fielder and somebody that you were really counting on. This lost at the plate.
Yeah, and if they legitimately don't know what's wrong, and we're all sure that something is wrong, it's not going to matter that he's in Tacoma. Besides, he won't be in the major league lineup.
Right, right. I guess that is the downside thing here, or like, you know, the big unknown. What if he actually is okay? What if he actually is okay and he just stumbled into a brilliant 500 at bats or so in 2009? I mean, I don't think that's true, but it's worrisome.
I kind of don't want to think about that.
Right. There's a whole lot about this team right now that you just don't want to think about. and you just move on.
Right, so it's a really good time to crack the isolation chamber and come back in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you're not using it anymore, I mean, it's just sitting there.
It is.
Okay, okay.
I need to change the water, though. But other than that, if you want to come up and spend the next year in there, that's we can arrange this.
Very tempting.
So on the injury front, like, so what happened to Jack Cuspin? Did he take like a fastball off his wrist?
No.
Like what?
No.
Wait.
Apparently not. And you know, this was always kind of a calculated risk. His power numbers have been declining. He had a decent year last year with a big jump in batting average and balls in play, but his power numbers have been on the decline for a while. And I think they got him fairly cheaply and were thinking, well, you know, regress that to his career numbers and you get a cheap, very good designated hitter, especially against right-handers. Unfortunately, those power numbers have just gone down further. And while he can take a walk, that's about all he can do. And, you know, I think he's been getting a lot fewer balls recently. I mean, he's still walking a decent amount. But you've got a designated hitter who's just not producing. And that's a problem. I mean, I just think he's done.
You don't think the problem is like he's just not being aggressive enough?
No. No.
That's what Eric Wedge tells me.
I know that's what Eric Wedge tells you. And he's told a lot of people that. But no. When he's striking out over 30% of his at-bats. And, you know, he's just not hitting the ball very hard. His isolated slugging is below Ichiro's career numbers, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, he's hitting like a very patient middle infielder.
So, when I look at the team stats, though, the team could really use a very patient middle infielder.
Oh, they can. They could use a very patient anything, I think, you know. And to some degree, when Brendan Ryan is on, he kind of looks like one. You know, Brendan Ryan isn't a gigantic problem. It's just that Brendan Ryan is the two-hole hitter right now. And
Miguel Olivo is your number four hitter.
Right. So. Well, yeah, you build your lineup around that. You've got that anchor right there. Then everything else just kind of falls into place. Yeah, Brendan Ryan is capable of taking a walk, but I think it's likely that he will not get a lot more. I think people are going to be pitching him a little bit more aggressively. That's been true in this Boston series, and he's actually hitting okay. But, yeah, they need another couple of patient middle infielders. And they have one now in Dustin Ackley.
Right. So is this the high spot?
Yeah, yeah. This is the high spot. No doubt about it. He's clearly the team's best hitter right now. The depressing thing, of course, is that since adding in what is by far the team's best hitter, the team total hitting stats have tanked, and the team doesn't seem to be able to win any games anymore. Their record since calling up Ackley is poor.
And so clearly Ackley is the problem.
Right. Ackley must be sacrificed to placate the gods. I have no idea. I mean, I think it's great that Dustin Ackley has done so well. But it's just one of those things that proves even a one really good hitter or one decent hitter. I mean, let's be frank. He's not like tearing the cover off the ball, but he's been a very good hitter. Can't lift the lineup by himself.
All right, so I go back. Is Jack Wilson patient zero in this whole thing? Like, has he introduced both injuries and offensive ineptness?
Yeah. I think that was the first really bad move. I think it's tough to say if that or the Milton Bradley thing, or if it's just death by a thousand cuts. I mean, because let's face it, Jack Wilson doesn't even play. It's kind of hard for him to do so much damage all by himself. But
it's chemistry. It's clearly chemistry.
That's the thing. I would hope that this year, more than anything else, if there's one thing that we can get out of this year, it's that that chemistry just doesn't matter. I mean, we were told all the time last year that the chemistry thing was just killing the team. These guys they couldn't stand members of the media. They couldn't stand some of their teammates. They just didn't want to come to the game, and that was sinking their performance. This year, with a tough, hard-nosed, aggressive manager, everyone seems to be on the same page. They're sticking up for each other, and they still suck. So, clearly, if there is an effect due to chemistry, it cannot make bad baseball players good ones. And it can't save, people who are having a bad season. It can't save that. And I don't know that anyone, even those who advocate for chemistry, would say that it does. But if it doesn't do that, then what is it for? And what are you trying to do when you're trying to instill it?
Right. I feel like, though, as a fan base, we've already gone through this when Bavese joined, and we got the team of hard-nosed championship players who knew how to win, and they turned out to be a bunch of buffoons who imploded.
Yeah.
How many times do we need to learn this lesson? Haven't we had enough?
Yes, I've got my hand raised right now. We have, and I think we definitely had that. I mean, if 2010 wasn't enough to disabuse us of that notion, then I don't know what is. I mean, that was just a disaster where they seemed to pick a team for chemistry and watched as it blew up. And, to be fair, I don't think they went into this season with chemistry. It's certainly not in player selection. I think they probably did in hiring Wedge. But I don't really think this is about Wedge or about the players. It's just about the fact that chemistry doesn't get you any wins.
It seems strange to me that, every time you try and build a team around it, it always seems to go bad. Like, it's as if you don't select for chemistry, there's a 50% chance it's going to work out chemistry-wise, and a 50% chance it's not going to work out chemistry-wise. But if you go out and you bring out some world champion third baseman, and, he turns out to be a total... I was about to say something that would require you to hit the little mute button, but right?
Right.
When you actually go, you're like, man, this guy's really hard nosed, and he's going to bring chemistry. You get, you get Carl Everett, you get Milton Bradley.
Right.
You get.
I don't know that Milton Bradley was ever considered a chemistry addition, but yeah, I take the general point.
Well, it's to the whole, I mean, the cliched story of chemistry that we hear all the time.
Yes.
You need a guy in the clubhouse who's really going to be aggressive and get in other people's faces and hold everybody accountable.
Well, you know, I think that gets down to, I mean, the actual definition of chemistry or what kind of player is a good clubhouse guy is so nebulous. I mean, I think the 2004 Boston Red Sox are the epitome of that, where they didn't really have that. They just had a bunch of jokers. And after the fact that they had a bunch of jokers was pointed to as, you know, something that helped them win, because they were so light, they didn't feel, they were so loose, they didn't feel pressure. So yeah, it's chemistry is impossible to pin down, and it's pretty tough to find people who are willing to say that they're building a team around chemistry before the fact.
Yeah,
they will just point to it
always,
once they
win. Always, it's after the fact.
Yeah.
You go back and you go, okay, I guess they were too hard-nosed and drove each other too hard, and yeah. they needed an extra joker. They needed one more guy who was going to do the hot foot in the bullpen.
Right.
Because they didn't have that. They were all tense all the time.
Oh, they had two leaders, you know? Nobody knew whose clubhouse it was. There wasn't one guy,
yes,
you know?
Yes, they,
you need a leader and a deputy. You can't have people pulling in opposite directions.
Yeah, there were two boom boxes, and one of them was playing the salsa music, and the other was playing the hip-hop, and
exactly.
Then, yeah. I don't know.
No.
So it actually reminds me that, speaking of former Angels who have wrecked disaster on the team, have the Angels actually claimed responsibility for Figgins' performance?
No. This may be kind of like a deep throat scenario where maybe like after somebody dies, we'll get an admission. But I think until then, they're not going to say anything. And Sean hasn't said anything. You know.
Yeah, it's sort of like my reaction to the Jack Wilson signing, in that the move at the time, you go, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense, it's going to fit in. Or at least I did. I know other people who turned out to be much smarter than me thought Jack Wilson was not a great move. But for like Figgins, you know, like, oh, he's a great fit. He's gonna do well on the team. They need a third baseman, and it's just been this utter disaster. I find it hard to find an explanation for how Figgins has done beyond he's a sleeper agent designed to like sap a huge amount of the team's payroll while performing terribly.
Right. Exactly. I mean, he doesn't. It's bizarre. I think you could do that with so many of the guys. I mean, with Gutierrez, with Jack Wilson to a degree, with Figgins, maybe even with Olivo. It's difficult to explain how they could be this bad. I think there was a downside to all of these moves that were acknowledged to various degrees. But, you know, it's been so much worse than anyone could have anticipated. And I think that does exculpate the front office a little bit. At the same time, when you've made so many moves that blow up, I don't know, I wonder about it. I wonder what sort of skills are they looking for? What sort of skills are they seeing, like in the pro scouting department? What, I mean, you know.
Right, so this is a big question for me. I presume Zorenzik gets fired after the season.
I think it's looking that way. Or it's looking like a strong possibility. I think he's going to point to the farm system. The farm system is light years better than it was.
Right, but he's not in charge of player development. He's the general manager of the team.
Exactly.
It seems like,
right,
as much as I admire what they've done with the draft and with scouting, every time they've made a move on the major league level, it's a freaking disaster.
Again, outside of the J.J. Putz trade. Which was robbery, and worked out at the pro level better than I think they could have thought. I think, the Cliff Lee deals, both of them, those weren't amateurs, but they certainly picked the right guys. So, you know, like you see flashes. It's, again, it's the free agent signings. It's the complementary pieces that have gone so wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's clearly a step up from Bavesi. But, you know, I keep going, like, when they signed Zarensic, what they had was a guy who was a legend at amateur scouting. He was the best scouting director in baseball. And what they seem to have right now is the best scouting department in baseball, and that's still kind of it. I mean, everyone wondered about how Zarensic would do as the general manager, and, you know, taking on the pro scouting side of things. And the track record is mixed, but it's pretty spotty.
It's funny, when you were talking about the trades, I actually started to think, oh yeah, maybe you don't fire him.
Right.
Because that's such...
I think there's a perfectly good rationale to keep him on for another year or two. But at that point, you know, it's like, how much leash does he get? It's going to be pretty stunning if a team that was expected to be a contender can lose 95, 100 games in back-to-back seasons and not have that kind of a change.
Right, and here's the thing I really don't understand. So we look at the roster, and it seems like, in terms of the high-profile trades, it works out really well. And in terms of, there's a lot of really small moves, like Brandon Ryan. That's mm-hmm. not a bad pickup, Brent.
Right. It was a trade. There you go.
Right. You know, and I look at, like, Langerhans. I don't think Langerhans has gotten a fair shake, and I have some questions about that you might be able to help me with. But Langerhans, it's an undervalued commodity. They got some really good use out of him. I look at that, I go, okay, that's really good. And you think, well, okay, so what has he done where he sunk a ton of money into free agency? Like, it's a wasteland. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that just because free agency is terrible for everybody? I mean, yeah, I can't believe that there wasn't. So I have to confess, when I heard the Mariners had gone out and gotten Miguel Olivo, the first thing that occurred to me was, that has to be the guy. Has to be a guy with the same name. No, seriously, it's like Jose Fernandez.
Right.
Or there's like more than one dude, because I could not believe that they would have signed Miguel Olivo as a free agent.
I thought a lot of people like the move.
Maybe like he's going to be the backup. No. I don't understand what thought process leads you to signing Miguel Olivo as a free agent.
That was a questionable. I don't know. I mean, I think the easy answer is that he had a good couple of years. He had a decent year in Colorado, you know, surprising. And he hit a hell of a lot of home runs for Kansas City. And you look at the projection systems, they had him as basically a league average player. Now, this is where you go, you know, do you just go with that? Or, you know, do you say, it's Miguel Olivo? I mean, you know what you're going to get here. You're going to get a guy who strikes out 30% of his at-bats. I mean, he's not going to take a walk. So what else is it that's going to get you production? You know, he's got a really good arm, and he looked decent on the nascent defensive metrics we have for catchers last year. But, you know, does anybody really think he's a dominant defensive catcher? I mean, no. I can't understand the thought process that would get you that answer. He wouldn't have needed to repeat his luck on home runs for on balls in air, but he needed to do something to make up for the fact that he is going to have an on-base percentage in the 270 neighborhood.
Right.
And he hasn't done that. I mean, I think actually with his power numbers have been as good as I could have hoped, and it just doesn't matter. And this is one of those outcomes that was certainly more than just possible. This was one of those outcomes that I think was pretty likely.
Yeah.
So it was a bizarre move, and yeah, he is signed for next year, by the way.
Well, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And people point to the bad free agent catcher class, and I get that, but there are always people out there willing to take a 1-year deal.
Yeah, so, like, how did they... What contract is Bard on?
Bard was a minor league free agent, or, you know, they signed him as a free agent, so. They just added him to the 40-man when they brought him up.
So the free agent class couldn't have been that bad. Right? Josh Bard is not, I don't know what I want to say, chopped tuna.
He may not be, you know, chopped tuna, but I think he's probably something canned and fairly inexpensive.
Right, but is the difference between Josh Bard and Miguel Olivo the can of tuna and a beautiful seared ahi steak served at your favorite restaurant?
Right, well, clearly I don't think either of us would say that it is. I think the Olivo pickup was clearly pretty risky, but it had some upside to it, and I'm trying to put myself into the mind of Cerensik here. I mean, if he puts it together, if he has, you know, if he gets some luck, he can keep his average and on-base percentage up somehow, probably just due to getting a lot of singles, and then he can add power. If you can take the Mariner catcher spot, which has been such a black hole in the past couple of years, and upgrade it from replacement level to, you know, a 3-win player, 4-win player, if everything breaks right, that's amazing. That's 4 wins at a cost of a couple million per year. Josh Barr just doesn't have that kind of upside. So I understand it, and I think it's, you know, the people who say, oh, you know, the Mariners don't care about winning, all they care about is like a good family environment or something like that. Well, no, they actually went for it to some degree. They didn't go for it all over the place. They kind of did it in fits and starts. But Olivo was a move to try to actually get good. Was not a move to stop the bleeding from Rob Johnson. It was, you know, we're going to have somebody who opponents fear because, hey, he's a cleanup hitter. it just hasn't worked out that way.
So again, the fact that you can reasonably describe as signing Miguel Olivo as a free agent as a move to get good, I feel like I've emerged from my pod into an alternate universe.
I know.
Like, everything you said makes sense, but I feel like at the end of this, you're going to tell me that, you know...
That somebody hacked Baseball Reference and all those numbers are...
Yes.
I wonder about it, too, because I didn't believe it when I looked at it. I was wondering when my initial reaction, which was pretty much the same as yours... I wondered, was I being too harsh just because I remember what happened in 2005?
No.
And I never wanted to see that again.
No.
You know, that was like an emotional reaction to the deal, not an analytical one, but it was very, very real.
And I wonder, too, how much they consider the manager when they're signing free agents, because when you talk about the things that Olivo needs to do in order to succeed... And you pair it with from what Wedge apparently has been pushing on the hitters all year, which is hack, 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 hack. That's not a formula to get the success that you need out of Olivo.
I really don't think you need to try to match a manager to the free agent signings. I mean, Olivo is 32. Olivo's approach at the plate is the same now as it was when he came up. And he's probably had, you know, a dozen hitting instructors in his major league career, and none of them have made any difference. I think he's probably, if Wedge's philosophy can be broken down to just hack, 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 and I'm hoping that there's more to it than that. I'm hoping that it's more about, like, do something when you get a fat pitch, which is something that the Mariners have struggled with. I don't think there's any way that the Mariners could have thought they could have fixed or, you know, improved a 32-year-old Miguel Olivo. I mean, if that was the plan, if they were going to try to make him a patient hitter with some power, then that's worse. That's insane.
No, I totally agree. I think, I think to some extent, I've learned that you don't take managers at face value when they say a lot of these things.
Yeah, right.
We want to be more aggressive on the base pass. That has like zero correlation between what they're actually going to do. But when I look through what Wedge has said, And especially when he points to Miguel Oliva as an example of an approach you would like to see other players emulate, I find that really disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. But
also, Miguel's from the Dominican Republic, so you don't walk off the island, right?
Apparently you do not.
That's the cliche, apparently.
Yeah, it is the cliche, and he's certainly going with it. It's just, yeah, it hasn't always worked out. He got pretty darn lucky last year in Colorado, and I would really love to believe that we didn't buy in that he had changed in some fundamental way, that he'd become a better or more selective hitter.
Right.
I just, you have to take your chance that he'll get a bunch of home runs and that the strikeouts and the terrible on-base percentage won't kill you. It's all, again, if what you need out of a guy is home runs and he's a right-handed hitter and you put him in Safeco Field, you're just asking for trouble. You just are. I just find it bizarre.
Yeah, so have they made, what's going on with the walls? Is it on the table? Has the rumor resurfaced for this season that they're thinking about it?
I haven't seen it. I hope not. I really do. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, we just have bad hitters. Jack Cust is old. He's been declining for a little while. Gutierrez is sick. It's not the walls. And again, the bright spot this year certainly has been the pitching staff. So I don't think you just want to, throw that away.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that.
Mm.
I thought Pineda only had one pitch.
Yeah. Man, it's good, though. I love Pineda because Pineda is still, developing before our eyes. I'm watching his slider today, and it looks a lot different than it looked in April. At the same time, his workload is getting up there. He certainly seems to be tiring a little bit. But, if he came out next game with a curveball, I don't know that I would bat an eye. I mean, he's learning at this every game. And it's just impressive.
That's totally awesome.
It is totally awesome. I mean, he's kind of a freak. I mean, this is somebody who was pitching in the AM system with a completely different body. I mean, this, 6'3", 180 or something like that, and now he's 6'7", 6'8", and, CC Sabathia-sized. And he can still make that work and not walk a ton of people. I don't know, I can't think of a precedent for something like this. So that's really great. But I still think that his fastball has really set up every other pitch. I mean, whatever it was, as long as it was slower than the fastball, it would be kind of effective if he disguised it well enough. And he's done that. His fastball was so great early on that people had to sit on that, and they were not able to make adjustments to other pitches. I still think he's struggled a little bit, especially down the stretch here against lefties, which is what I know Dave and a lot of folks have been warning about, but
yeah, his strikeout rate is unreal.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, his fastball is just a legitimate weapon.
Yeah, that makes me very happy.
Me too.
So when you look at the pitchers, there's this guy Bedard.
Yeah.
I looked him up, and it's the Bernard I remember. He's on the DL.
Yeah.
But he's only on the 15-day DL.
Yeah. They're talking about him making his next scheduled start. His next start next week, Friday or Saturday. I mean, that's kind of an example here. As much as things have gone much, much worse than people could have anticipated on the offensive side of the ball, this team has been fantastically lucky, or, fortunate maybe, on the defensive side, on the pitching side. Eric Bedard has been effective. He's only missed a couple of starts. And when he's missed starts, Blake Bevan, who looked lost last year in Tacoma, has come up and pitched really effectively. Doug Pfister was always maybe a candidate to regress a little bit, and instead he's just gotten a lot better. Jason Vargas hasn't regressed. I mean, it's just the pitchers have been very, very good, the starters especially. They got good seasons, certainly in the first half, from, you know, journeymen like Jamie Wright, David Pauly, Aaron Laffey. I mean, you know, at least on that side, all of these 50-50 coin flips turned up, and that's just kind of astonishing that they could
they
so well
on the pitcher side.
Yeah,
they all came up tails on the
right, and it's one of those things where, you know, well, if you played the season again, and if the Mariners had, you know, Gutierrez healthy, or if Ichiro was having a normal season, then maybe they'd be back into it. And it's like, well, if you play this again, I don't know that you would get those pitching performances again. And then where would you be? You know, you might look like the Mariners looked against Toronto, where they score 5-6 runs and get swept.
Yeah. So, yeah.
More depressing.
That's depressing.
Yeah. I'm watching Justin Smoke, and Justin Smoke is maybe the most depressing thing, is somebody who looked so good in April and May, and it's really collapsed. And there again, yeah, there's a potential injury explanation. But if there is an injury explanation, I just don't understand what he's doing out there.
Yeah, I don't either. So wait, what's the Smoke injury?
Apparently, he has a thumb injury that he got in mid to late, maybe late June. And he's certainly not been a good hitter since then. And again, maybe people are probably picking up little knocks daily or weekly, and it's only until you see 45 games or, you know, 30 games of replacement level production that you assign credit for that to the injury. But
right, but his May was, I'm looking at his splits. His May was not good either. I mean, it wasn't bad, but maybe he was just on fire for that first.
Yeah. And he had a good couple of weeks in June, so it's tough to say, but he's certainly not trending in the right direction right now.
Oh man, I want him to be good. Can he be good? Can we have something?
Yeah, I think we can. I know. I would like something.
Can we have Ackley and Smoke just to hang our hats on? Okay. If there's something, like, if I'm looking for something to watch for the rest of the season, if we can assume that I'm going to be hanging out for a while,
yeah. I think those are the big things to watch. I think that, I think, you know, how does Pineda end the year? Can he bounce back a little bit? And then I think the other big thing is they need to figure out what they have in the outfield. The outfield has absolutely killed them. Left field, you know, Peguero, Mike Wilson, that hasn't really worked out. So now we're going with Carp. I know, I was going to say, if you've been in an isolation chamber, you may need to sit down for this one. Mike Karp, you know, the same guy who wasn't a very good defensive first baseman, is now an outfielder. And he's got a couple of years of solid power performance in AAA. And some of that, it seems to be showing up. He's got home runs in two consecutive games. And, you know, he was just on fire in the PCL, although, to be fair, so is Mike Wilson, so is Carlos Peguero. But they just need to see what they have in him, in large part because there's no point in trying something else right now. And then Greg Holman in center. I mean, Greg Holman has always been a question mark, one that I know Dave and a lot of people have just thought is not really capable of being an everyday major league player because of his pitch recognition and you know, whiff rate, you know, strikeout rate. They're just obscene. But at this point, I think you have to figure out what you have there.
Right. I totally agree. You're playing this badly when you get to lose.
Right, right. The veterans are not exactly staking their claim there to a lot of playing time. And we will be trotting out bad veterans in multiple places. I mean, we still have Adam Kennedy, and there's still some of this residual thought that Adam Kennedy has been a really, really solid player. And I think he's been maybe a little bit better than I would have thought, but you know, let's be frank. He's just bad. at this stage in his career.
Right.
I think he probably has been a little bit better than I would have thought, but he's got an on-base percentage of 300, and it's Adam Kennedy, so he's not going to be the power numbers aren't going to make that tolerable. So there we are, and he's still going to be out there because it looks like Sean Figgins won't be. So
okay, so then, and this totally reveals my isolation pause test. What happened to Saunders?
Yeah, no, Saunders really regressed this year. He was, he's been bad pretty much every time, every call-up he's had, and was just awful this year in Gutierrez's absence. I mean, just really, really bad.
Yeah, I guess why, though? Like, I don't, it boggles my mind.
It does, it boggles mine. I mean, I think what a number of people have found is that he has a couple big holes in his swing. He can't get to certain pitches, and he hasn't corrected those flaws. They keep tweaking his batting stance. They keep tweaking his swing, and none of that's worked to date.
But, yeah, we're going to have Toddler in the background, and Toddler, who is absolutely obsessed with Mike Wilson, and every day reminds me that Mike Wilson should get another shot if Mike Kirk gets another shot, just so that's on the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a that's an unorthodox view.
It is very non-traditional. it is non-traditional. But the heart wants what the heart wants, and her heart wants Mike Wilson. So.
You'll have to edit this part out.
I will definitely have to edit a lot of this part out, yeah.
Okay, so, Saunders.
Yeah.
So, I would accept a, if you could... If he could slap a mask on it, I would take a 200 batting average out of it.
Yeah.
I looked it up on Baseball Reference while I was waiting for you to get back online. It's his career is like 3 seasons, he got 600 plate appearances. It's 203, 270, 318. I'm like, hey, he could catch.
Yeah, maybe so. Again, the trend, I mean, he would have, year he was 168, 223, 248. So, you know. Wow. And again, he was an everyday player because there was no other center fielder really outside of Langerhans, who's just probably not really good enough to be a center fielder in the majors.
No.
So, you know, he had every opportunity. He's just kind of regressing.
Yeah. It's like we can't have nice things.
Exactly. I think of that a lot, that we had peak Ichiro, and as a result... we're not allowed to have other nice things, which just seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the guilt I feel over having Alex Rodriguez and Ken Griffey and all these other great players and never having a title. Like, Ichiro is one of the coolest baseball players I've ever seen in my life, and we give him this.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks for signing with us.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Felix now, too.
Oh no.
You know, thank you so much for signing the extension, for demonstrating a real commitment to this town and to this franchise. We're just going to give you, you know, absolutely shitty teammates, and that just doesn't seem fair.
No, it's not fair. Yeah. What are we to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Felix has now seen 2 and this year maybe 3 100 lost seasons. He doesn't deserve that.
No. And again, if they were sold as rebuilding years, I think it would have been easier. But that's not the way they were sold. I think to an extent, this one was sold that way after 100 losses last year. But that was not part of the 5-year plan here. Yeah, it's just tough when you see teams that were expected to be rebuilding, like Arizona this year, who look okay.
Right. Should we just wrap up?
Okay.
Man, that was a real depressing way to end.
That was I know, right. We haven't really lingered on Figgins, which is, you know, it's just too much.
Has he been traded yet?
I hope so. He was just yanked from the lineup today. He was in the lineup, and they scratched him and put in Kennedy.
I saw it. It made my heart lifted.
I know. It doesn't take much these days.
Hopefully by the time we get this up, we'll have good news on that front.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, I look forward to watching Dustin and Ackley play.
There you go. Me too.
All right. So thanks for catching me up.
Absolutely.